Who with it now? Well, season's over. That's it. No more Detroit Lions football. No more Pride of Detroit podcast. No more Pride of Detroit. We're shutting it all down, Jeremy. Yep. By law, it has to be shut down. No more. No more. It was a good ride, everyone.
I mean, I wanted to keep it open, but y'all were so negative about the team. What's the point at this point? You guys don't want Lions football, so we're done.
Yep, we're done. We're out. Everyone's like, you know, everyone makes their statements about how they've been a fan for, you know, 35, 69 years or whatever.
Nice.
And it's like, now I am finally fed up. And you know what? I'm about ready to do something. You know what? We decided to do something. No more.
Yeah. And guys, I hate to make my announcement in front of you guys and, you know, just do it in this way, but Acme Packing Company reached out. Got my Aaron Rodgers jersey. Here we go.
I don't know. I think you're going to be their Jordy Nelson expert or something. Is that what I'm hearing in the grapevine?
Well, see, I got my Jordy Nelson jersey last week. Broke his ribs. I did.
Yeah,
it.
I mean, you're
I
already
did it again.
You're already doing it. I'm pleased to announce my new job. Covering esports.
Oh,
I'm
no.
going to be covering a professional Rocket League, I think is the sport. League of Legends.
See, that's
Legends,
not,
Legends that's, of Rockets.
That's not where your career arc was going in my mind. I thought you were going to do that. Those drone racing. I thought you were going to be a drone racer.
That's basically the same thing.
Okay. All right, well.
Okay, I just got to say, in all seriousness, in all this upkeep of esports, where is, like, the people playing Wipeout and Forza racing games? Why are they not esports?
Takes time. It takes time. I would like to make my announcement as well, because I had to get a new job. I work at the Nestle factory, packaging Butterfingers.
Oh,
can you imagine God. How difficult of a time it is for me? I have to package all of those things by hand, and I can't eat any of them.
The smell probably drives you insane. You probably can't eat them anymore.
I cannot release any secrets of whether or not it's actually chocolate.
Or peanut butter.
Somehow that's more disgusting than joining Acme Packing Company.
As always, Ryan.
Back is the motherfucking rock guy.
At Ryan_POD, topping all of us here. I'm Chris Lemieux at Adequate Host, and Jeremy Reisman over at Detroit Online. This is the Pride of Detroit podcast, and it's the end of a season. It's the end of an era. It's the end of a season era. The 2016 season is now in the books. Your final from Seattle, CenturyLink Field, the Lions 6, the Seattle Seahawks more than 6. A lot more than 6.
Like 20 more than 6.
Yeah.
I mean, how much do the refs get, too?
Yeah, what was their take?
Okay. Oh, my. We're trying to avoid talking about this game in case you can't tell. Jeremy, are you prepared to talk about this game? Are you over all of the rage that people have sent you?
Well, it's kind of weird because we usually record this on a Monday after a Sunday game. We're recording this on a Monday after a Saturday game, so it does feel a little more distant in my mind.
I even asked you on Sunday night, do you guys want to record? The problem was Ryan was at hockey, and you were still dealing with the post-trauma of all this bullshit.
Yeah, it's not fun in Lions land when they lose big games, and I'm sure everyone knows that. It's not fun because they lose, and it's not fun because a lot of people get very negative about this team, and I understand it. It's frustrating. We're all very frustrated, but when we're out here calling for Jake Rudock again, like, have we really regressed that much as a fan base throughout this year?
Yes.
We all saw the year that Matthew Stafford had, right? We all saw that?
No, I only saw 4 games.
You know, I have felt good going into this game. Like, me, you guys can account, like, me and my friend Hunter, we were having fun on the Twitter mentions. Someone was very confused by my username on Twitter and asked Jeremy to make sure that his editor would stop trying to sell him drugs, which I think was the highlight of my night, because everything that followed that at kickoff was not good.
Well, the game itself was frustrating through the first half because it felt like the Lions should have been doing better. They missed a couple early opportunities. Say what you will about the face mask on the touchdown. That's a non-issue to me. Whatever.
Drops are an issue, though.
Drops are an issue. Terrible penalties after the play are an issue. But this still had a playoff atmosphere to me. This was still fun in retrospect. I'm 2 days later, I still had a lot of fun. This game was a game until the fourth quarter. The Lions had a possession in the fourth quarter to take the lead, I believe, if not tie the game. That's what I've been waiting for the entire season.
It was 6-10 going into the fourth quarter. This was still very much so open for the taking for the Detroit Lions. And then it just all blew apart. Like, it just finally, everything that was holding this little ship together just could not deal with the stress of, like, everything being thrown at it. But just the way it fell apart, too. Like, Matt Stafford did not have any interceptions in this game. There were no turnovers in this game. The Lions didn't turn the ball over. It's not like they shot themselves in the foot that way. It's just, like, what was it? The fourth, like, the only real time you can say, you know, they shot themselves in the foot was what? The fourth down? They went for it once? And, like, even then, like, that was the right decision. It was just an awful, awful call. And that was still early in the game, so I didn't think too much of it. But just, I look at the full thing, and it's about 37 minutes possession for the Seattle Seahawks. And about 150 more yards of offense.
Yeah, and I mean, Seattle controlled that game, but I'm not saying I ever really felt like the Lions were going to win that game, but, you know, the game against Seattle last year actually felt a lot like this game, in that the Lions were just kind of helpless on offense, Seattle was just getting by on defense. The only difference in that game is that Lions came up with a strip sack, and a touchdown on the same play, got them back into that game, got Stafford a chance at the end of the game, and they nearly converted. Lions never had that chance at the end of the game after, you know, 14, 15, 13 minutes left in the game. So, I don't know. It was obviously a disappointing game overall. Seattle controlled it from front to finish. I think the fact that it was a close game was kind of lucky at the end, but it still lent itself to an exciting game. The Lions clearly aren't ready to win a playoff game as they stand right now, but I'm not too down on this team right now.
Yeah, and with all that being said, Jeremy, I still thought at the end of the day that the Lions were still going to have a chance. I know they didn't have the same kind of luck that they did last year on Monday night, you know, Caron Reed getting, like you said, the defensive touchdown and everything, but this was kind of like, it followed the same format of every single Lions game, save of the Cowboys game, you know, of every Lions game during the regular season. It was a one-score game. So you still wanted to believe that maybe there is still some Stafford magic left in that offense, but it just didn't end up being that way. And unfortunately, I think the season will always be remembered as the season that the Lions got fingered.
Well, I mean, okay.
I get paid the big bucks around here.
You are at the Nestle factory. So
eat shit.
Besides your... Why would I, when I can just have a crispity crunchy Butterfinger
yeah,
and just simulate the taste in my mouth?
Eat some chocolatey shit.
Yeah. Chocolatey, crispity. I don't even know how your tagline goes. Either way, I look at the games the Lions won.
Mine.
Stop it. I look at the games the Lions won, and it's just very clear, like, eventually something happened with this offense that just, even before Stafford may or may not got hurt, where they just stopped scoring a lot. And when it comes down to that, like, I look back at something like, I don't know, like that Vikings game, and the difference there was, you know, they scored early enough that they were able to just kind of have points to kind of play with. And there just wasn't, like, that style of defense Lions are playing, and it's not an ideal defense by any shot, any imagination. But you kind of need some points to basically do anything, and it just, I don't know, man. I really don't know. I'm still very baffled by this game, and I'm very annoyed that, you know, Thomas Rawls waited until this game to remember that he was a running back.
Well, and I think you bring up a really good point about the offense, because there's no doubt that it did not improve. It got worse as the season went on, and I think it's clear to me, at least, that this wasn't just a case of them playing tougher defenses. They played tough defenses early in the year and did okay. You know, the Titans, the Texans. Sure. They lost both those games, but they were able to put up some points. And the most disappointing thing about this game was that the offensive line held up. They were without Swanson again. They were without Reef again. And they held up against a really good Seahawks defense, and it didn't matter.
And by the way, on the other side of the ball, Russ Wilson was sacked like 3 times, too. The defense was producing against this line.
Yeah. Outside of the running game on both sides of the ball, the Lions won the game in the trenches in terms of pass protection and pass rush. They won the game in the trenches. They definitely lost in the trenches on the other side.
The rest of the game.
Yes.
Everywhere else, yes.
But I think, to me, this game highlights to me that Theo Riddick's loss was bigger than any other injury in this year. Even more than Ameer Abdullah, in my opinion. Because he was that safety valve for Stafford. You know, he finished the season with 4 receiving touchdowns, 4 or 5, which second in the team. And he missed the last 4 games. Theo Riddick was a huge key to this offense that, you know, is predominantly short yardage passing. He was getting 4 or 5 catches a game. That was severely missed over the last four games, and it cost him.
And, I mean, we saw it, kind of the sinking feeling in the gut, because, I mean, Theo Riddick obviously already out, but, like, we saw, you know, Riley Reiff suddenly getting marked out, Travis Swanson didn't travel with the team, I mean, you just kind of had a feeling, it's like, okay, this is going downhill. Like,
yeah,
like the offense just, there was nothing there, and I don't know what to make of Stafford's finger. Everyone's going to keep talking about Stafford's finger until the end of time, but... It was all those things. It was all those things put together.
I was going to say, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, and this kind of goes to my point, but I can't even remember. What was the season when he played with the glove on his hand?
2011.
Is that 2011?
Yeah.
So, I mean, people will get over the finger eventually, and just to be clear, what I said earlier was I cannot attribute that to my creation. That was somebody on Twitter, because I could never come up with something so clever. But, yeah, you just have to be disappointed. I agree with you, Jeremy. Like, the Lions, for the most part, I thought, won the battle in the trenches. I mean, the Lions still gave up 3 sacks. And
Two of those were on the last drive, though. Two of those were when the game was over.
That is true. I still thought that Stafford was still getting pressured quite a bit. But, I mean, contextually, I mean, when you have, like, all of the players that were in place that were playing, you know, Glasgow at center and Tomlinson at left guard and, you know, Cornelius Lucas at right tackle. All that being considered, yes, I totally agree with you. I think that they won the battle in the trenches, like, you know, keeping context in mind. But it was everything at the next level that just didn't work. You know, like, the defensive line did a really good job. Even, like, I think maintaining their, you know, their position in terms of the run defense. But when there was a hole, there was nobody from the second level coming to fill it. And if there was, it was an arm tackle. You know, it wasn't something that was going to get Thomas Rawls down. It was so deflating just watching Thomas Rawls get 5 yards on first down or get 6 yards on first down. It was always second and manageable. It was always, you know, third and short. It was no fun to watch. There was a sense of hope always, but I was always just reminding myself, like, this team isn't going to do it, are they? But then I'd see Matthew Stafford and be like, maybe.
Well, I mean, I feel like his team got frustrated, too, because there were 3 personal fouls in this game that just...
Two of them by Mr. Anquan Boldin.
Well, okay, I actually understand Anquan Boldin going off a little better than I do Haloti Ngata, because Anquan Boldin used to play for the 49ers, so there's probably some old NFC West beef in him with the Seahawks.
Right, or some of that Colin Kaepernick wear it off on him, right?
No. I'm dead serious about this, though. Like, the 49ers, Seahawks... Big used to be a rivalry and everything. Like, I could understand there's probably some old people who remembered him with the Seahawks, trash talk got out of hand, and he just, yeah, I, either way, you don't expect that from veterans.
But two of them?
Yeah,
like, two of them. That's, it's just, that's not acceptable at all.
The second one was kind of ticky-tack, though, but that kind of speaks to a larger issue with the referee officiating in this game.
Yeah, but once you get one personal foul, you have to know that they already have to know that they're already looking at you in a different way for the rest of the game.
Sure. Yeah, I don't even know how he got that second one, but absolutely, you've kind of got to be on pins and needles. Yeah, it just, everything about this was frustrating. It just didn't, I mean, this felt different from the Packers game. Like, there were different frustrations to the end of the season. Like, the Cowboys just annihilated you.
This is a good question that I think that you just brought up, or, you know, spurred in my mind, Chris. Like, were you guys more optimistic and hopeful going into the Packers game or the Seattle game?
Packers. A little bit Packers, just because I thought that defense was trash, legitimately trash. And I don't know. I felt like the Lions matched up okay defensively against the Packers, and, you know, obviously being at home is huge as well. So
yeah, I would probably agree. I would say the Packers game, but at the same time, I just really wanted this one so bad. I wanted it so bad just for all of the meaning and just so that we wouldn't have to survive and weather the shitstorm that was going to inevitably happen afterwards if we lost.
I have got to say, like, I felt more confident going into the Packers game. Because, I mean, at least there, like, there was scoring, and I could tell the Lions were, like, you know, I don't know. I really don't. Like, the Lions led at one point. They led in going into that half. So, like, I mean, and I had seen the blueprint on how to beat the Packers through the season. So, I guess my original thing I was saying is, like, there's different disappointments between this, the Giants. Like, this was probably close to the Giants game in my mind as far as, like, how the Lions got beat, right?
I think that's accurate to say, yeah. The Lions kind of hung around, almost had a chance at the end, but then floodgates opened a little bit.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick time out. When we come back, we're going to do a little bit more post-mortem. I know people don't want to talk about this game too much. It is going to be coming out on Tuesday, so it's all kind of a little bit in the rearview mirror, but we're going to grade the coaches, because I know you guys love doing that, and you won't shut up until we do. So we're going to give the people what we want, what they want. All right, continuing along here on the Pride of Detroit podcast. Before we get started here, Jeremy, do we have any... Like, I just want to ask you, Jeremy, as the fearless leader, the managing editor, all those very fun titles for which you get to run all this stuff because you spend most of your day... Well, you did, I should say. Let's just say, hypothetically, if the site was still running, which it may or may not be, it's a Schrodinger site, what are your plans for the site over the off season?
Basically, I think it's kind of have our supporting staff take more of a front role. We have a lot of great off season guys, Kentley Platt, all about the measurables, and he's really into the combine, all that sort of stuff. Alex Reno is going to be around all off season, giving you draft stuff. And then we have some fun stuff planned. We'll have our name bracket in June or July. I don't remember when I did it last year, but it was a pretty good time for that. And then we also have a secret tournament coming before that, which I'm not gonna reveal. Ooh. But I'll tease as well.
I wanna talk about it.
I don't actually, I don't even know about this. So this is, you guys are keeping me in the dark. So that's cool. For the podcast, I don't know. What are we going to do on PODcast? Like, are we
sandwiches?
That's next week. I promise you, we're going to do the sandwichless cast next week. We need to figure out too if we want to do like a second podcast. Let us know in the comments if you want to see like a second podcast per week from us, or like what else you want from us over the off season. I want to guarantee you we are not going to get deep into the draft stuff like.
What? I mean, why are you guaranteeing that? We could have Reno back.
We could have Reno back, I guess. We could look for some guests who could talk about draft. I'm just saying I'm very ill-equipped to talk about draft, unless there's another A'shaun Robinson out there.
Well, I think what Chris means is that we'll not be covering the draft so heavily until it's time to start covering the draft, which was what? Probably maybe like the beginning of April-ish? Like
we'll probably get deep into it like in March, I think.
Sure.
I think a lot of January and February, we should spend kind of talking about the season that was, talking about the future of this team, just kind of like cleaning up and, you know, paving the way forward. Like what we see the roadmap kind of moving forward for the Lions, and maybe just kind of looking into the fan base itself and talking about the fans and, you know, your best memories from this season, your worst memories, whatever you want, you know? So, I mean, hey, yeah. There might be some other stuff to talk about in the interim, too.
But I think it's good to kind of pause and take a look back, because we all watch this game out of enjoyment, and sometimes it's good to just kind of sit back and reminisce on the season that was, because it was a fun season. I think a lot of people forget that already, that this was one of the most fun seasons we've seen.
Yeah, I think that's kind of my big motivator to do some more season in full recap, because the last 4 weeks have just not been fun for Lions fans.
No.
And it's easy to forget that there was once upon a time like an 8-1 winning streak going on. I mean, an 8-1 streak going on here that where, you know, every game just snatched your heart out of your chest.
Yeah,
we were riding
absolutely.
That dragon. We were riding the dragon.
I mean, riding the dragon.
You may have bucked us off pretty hard at the end there, but
can we just do a podcast where maybe for like an entire segment we talk about Tate's touchdown in Minnesota? Like, I'd be totally fine with that. Like, maybe maybe some nice fan fiction, some literary nonfiction.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I do want to like go back and recap some of our best, like, you know, segment three stuff, like Rage Corners and Wally's World stuff and all that stuff. And we will have list casts, serious ones, and eventually too, not just sandwiches. We will start list casting.
Dude, who says sandwiches aren't serious?
It's very serious, but I meant Lions related.
Oh,
says
okay.
The guy on Team Subs that sandwiches aren't serious.
Oh, wow.
I had forgotten about Team Subs.
That's dredging up some old history.
Okay. Moving on though. I want to talk about the coaches, because
I thought you were going to say Jeremy Langford.
Well, shut up. When we had last met on the PODcast, Jim Caldwell's job had not yet been cemented for 2017. I think that news came like the day after we put the podcast out, or the day after we put the podcast out, but like the day after we recorded. So with that in mind, I can see people's attitudes soured immediately after hearing that, and then soured even more after he lost the playoff game in that fashion. And, I mean, there weren't too many decisions to really harp on. Again, I thought going for it on fourth down was the right decision. The play call was bad, but I don't know. Jim Caldwell doesn't make the play calls on offense, though, does he, Jeremy?
Nope.
No.
He
doesn't. That's not on him. The decision to punt, though, down 13.
With 8 minutes left, 4th and 10 from a little before midfield. That one felt like giving up.
Yeah, don't try to sell me on he's trying to, you know, put it on his defense. I'd rather him put it on Matt Stafford. I'm just saying. Given the option between the Lions defense and Matt Stafford, put it on Matt Stafford. But now there's people out there saying that Caldwell, because of that performance in the playoff game, should be fired anyway. So what do you guys like? What do you guys think of that option? And what do you guys think about the idea of just Caldwell returning here for what is the last year of his current contract?
I mean, there's no question in my mind that he deserves at least another year. The biggest accusation that Caldwell's getting thrown his way is that he's mediocre, that he can't get them past this hump where they're making the playoffs but not winning in the playoffs. I don't understand how you can make that determination right now This isn't a Marvin Lewis situation because it's been 3 years, not 15. So let's pump the brakes on that just a little bit. I mean, the playoffs are rough. It's a single elimination thing. It's not easy to win a playoff game. Only 12 teams have done it since Caldwell's been head coach. Only 12 teams. So the Lions are just on the outside there. And I put together this whole list of winning percentage. The Lions are 12th. They basically, like any sort of metric you do, Lions are right around that 12th. So just above average, but not quite in that top tier of teams that we're used to seeing up there. So there is a hurdle that he needs to get over. I will fully admit that. But in 3 years, I don't know if that's enough time, especially considering the roster he had this year. No Pro Bowlers, no All-Pros, no All-Pro second team. And he took this team with Thurston Armbrister and Antoine Williams and Asa Jackson. He took this team to the playoffs. He may have, quote-unquote, backed in, but they got there.
And that's, I know people got gassed up on Matt Stafford, but we really need to drive this home. This was a shit roster.
It wasn't very good. I mean, it was Bob Quinn's first year, too, so you have a new guy buying groceries, okay?
Yeah, there's just no depth. Absolutely no depth. You saw what happened as soon as we, like, you know, hey, okay, Travis Swanson's out. What do we do? Shit, we need to move, like, all these pieces around just to get a second guard out there and a second center.
Hey, and I mean, there were so many people that were early on in the season when Stafford was kind of, you know, they start out 1-3. People are already interested in getting rid of Caldwell and going the interim route. And Stafford hits this boon, and all of a sudden, well, you know, it's not really Caldwell that's, you know, responsible for this 8-1 stretch. It's more so Stafford and Jim Bob Cooter. So maybe Jim Bob Cooter could be an interim coach. Guys, remind me who played the Packers yesterday. It was the Giants, right? And their offensive coordinator, Ben McAdoo, is the guy who took over for Tom Coughlin. Oh, that's right. So when you have the head coach who's also not being just the head coach, but being the offensive play caller, bad things can still happen sometimes, right? Like, I mean, you can still run into roadblocks. Like, you can make really bad decisions, like punting from the opposing team's side of the field 3 times in one game.
Team never punt.
And I mean, let's just look back at that idea of promoting someone like Jim Bob Cooter 4 games in. How do people feel about Jim Bob Cooter right now?
Yeah.
Not nearly as good.
We need to talk about him a little bit, too. So, I mean, are we already transitioning on to Jim Bob Cooter? Because I was going to say his star has gotten a little tarnished near the end there. And I didn't think he was really serious for any head coaching gigs anyway. It had only been his first full season as an offensive coordinator, and he's still incredibly young. I don't think any team was that insane to really hand him the keys to the castle that quickly, except for maybe the Browns, but they already got their head coach.
Or the Jaguars. So.
Oh, Jaguars.
I'm going to talk about the Jaguars a little later.
Okay.
Let's talk about Jim Bob, though.
Sure. I agree, Chris. I think Jim Bob's, you know, quote-unquote star was tarnished a little bit from what happened towards the end of the season. And, you know, Jeremy earlier talked about, you know, maybe it was a little bit less that the, you know, defenses they played were so much better. That's the reason why the Lions season went into a tailspin. Injuries, and it's all about depth. And the Lions just didn't have it. And you can only fault Caldwell so much. And, you know, with Jim Bob Cooter, guys, he was on his third string running back for the majority of the season. He was relying on an undrafted free agent that potentially wasn't going to make the team this year, if not for Stephen Ridley coming in and just not being anything like Stephen Ridley. And he was relying on a 7th round, you know, running back who was potentially being thought of being a wide receiver because his running back, you know, skills are just clearly not there yet. We all saw the Dwayne Washington experiment fall apart just terribly. Okay, so
yeah.
I mean,
can you imagine that screenplay that Zenner took that Tomlinson blew the block on? Can you imagine if that was Theo Riddick instead? Because that guy wouldn't have made the tackle anyways.
70 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah, right. I mean, Zach Zenner, God bless him. He did all he could over the past 4 games, but you know he doesn't have an explosive play in his arsenal.
No, he
just doesn't.
He looks gassed after 6 yards.
That's fine, because he'll be administering, you know, gas and other anesthetics eventually, because that man's going to be a goddamn doctor.
Okay, Jeremy, real quick, I want to ask, like, my opinion, though, was Jim Bob Cooter, I thought where he showed himself to be the most green was like, as that personnel dwindled, he kind of kept leaning on the same things. And that's kind of a rookie mistake. It's like, to go, it's rather than trying to adapt to what you're forced to work with, you try to go with what you think, like, still, like, what you know, which might not work.
Yeah, I think you can definitely make that argument that this offense got stubborn and convinced itself that as long as they do what they think they do best, no defense can stop them.
Yeah, and obviously not the case.
That, yeah, probably not the case. But here's the overall thing on... This kind of involves Jim Caldwell, too. The biggest accomplishment offensively this team has had over the past 3 years is improving Matthew Stafford. I think we can all agree on that, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd rather have Jake Rudock.
Can I just say on that, too, like, that's what Caldwell does. Like,
right, and that was going
to
be my next point.
I fucking hate this, though, because, like, every person I talk to has said, well, did you see what happened with him, like, the second year in Baltimore? It's like, did you see that Joe Flacco got, like, a king's ransom and that's they couldn't keep anyone? Like, it's such a weird thing with Caldwell, where all the good work becomes the domain of the quarterback and all the failures become his.
And that's the thing. With Stafford's accomplishments, all this year and last year, it was 100% attributed to Jim Bob Cooter. And it kind of made sense. With the way you looked at the stats, he was not that good under Lombardi and then suddenly great under Cooter. So it made sense. But, you know, he also hit like the 1.5 year mark. So he kind of, yeah, okay, giggle, get it out of the way, Ryan.
Jesus. Well, I guess...
No, you're making a very good point, Jeremy. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. But yeah, I'm just saying Stafford needed time under this new system, whether it was under Lombardi or Cooter. And I'm not saying Lombardi would have been fine too, and Stafford may have made this turnaround either way. But I'm just saying it's kind of interesting where we attribute certain successes and to who we address, who we give them to, who we address them to. So I don't know who's necessarily there improving Stafford's game. It's definitely not an either or situation, but let's give this whole unit some more time. Let's give Cooter some time. This was his first year calling plays from beginning to end. Wasn't great at it. Definitely not going to get a head coaching job. I don't care what anyone says. We haven't heard any sort of rumor at this point. It's just not going to happen. Well, so give him another year. Have him a whole, give him another full offseason to maybe change his arsenal a bit. And if we're seeing more of the same failures next year, then we consider overthrowing everything. And then y'all can get your Patriots coaches in here and and have a parade.
Well, let me just say two things on that. First off, like, and I think the general gist of this is we don't think Caldwell is a world beater. He might have potential. We've never seen. He's never had more than 3 years at any given place he's been.
Except for
like Wake Forest, and no one gives a shit there.
Right. And by the same account, a Patriots coordinator could come in here and have a ton of success. Right.
Absolutely. I think what's most likely to happen is he might be the guy who is the guy before who's next. That's like the best case scenario, I think. Right.
Sure.
Best case scenario, because dude, I mean, like, he still like took a team to the Super Bowl. And, true, you know, however much you know, it comes back to the same kind of dynamics we were talking about, you know, the quarterback getting all the credit and the coach getting none of it. And, you know, in regards to, you know, Jim Caldwell's tenure with the Colts. But, yeah, I mean, a realistic scenario. I agree with that assessment, Chris. Like, I think he's totally could be the guy before the guy.
And just going back, and then the second thing I wanted to say was, and we're going back to the Jacksonville Jaguars today, who hired Doug Marrone, their interim head coach in a full-time position.
That always works out well.
Oh, Marrone.
But I just want to say, like, you know, I put this out on Twitter. I was joking. I'm like, I hate it when my perfect plan to be one of the 12 teams looking for the one good head coaching candidate, that plan just doesn't work out. And I've got to, you know, hire Doug Marrone. I hate when that happens because it's a perfect plan. You know, it's so fucking easy. It's so fucking easy. It's like Philip Green and Casino. These guys are so fucking smart. They're just going to all work out, right? And that's what you avoid by keeping Caldwell. And I'm sorry if you think that's accepting fucking mediocrity. But you know what? You gotta at least be mediocre before you can be good. Because the Lions weren't fucking even fucking mediocre.
Oh, wow.
Let it rip. I'm just tired of the whole accepting mediocrity thing. Like, the Lions, did you just forget that the Lions went out and got a new general manager? Like, did we all just kind of conveniently forget that?
And a new team president?
The point that I need people to understand is that the people that think Martha Ford is now, you know, being soft and doesn't care and just likes Jim Caldwell, like, she blew this team up last year. This team, this facility, looks nothing like it did a year ago.
You want to know what's a great recipe for success? Is when the owner, like, when the owner steps past the general manager to fire the head coach.
Right.
Like, that is always going to be success. Once again, I just keep thinking of Casino. And, you know, I'm just kind of riffing off because I know it's so fucking smart. But my line is, it's so fucking easy. It's so fucking easy for you at home to come out here and think that this, you know, you've got that figured out. And it's just, it's not. I'm sorry. You're not smart at this. None of us are smart at this. No, if we all knew how to run a football team, God damn it, we would be doing it, not sitting here making a podcast. Last bit from this stuff, talk about coaches. Terrell Austin. Rumors out there, he's going to be interviewing with Los Angeles and...
San Diego on Tuesday. You're probably listening to this on Tuesday. He's interviewing today.
Today! Granted, those are out on the West Coast, so maybe he hasn't had them yet. Would you be heartened or saddened to see... Do you think the team has made... Like, what would you think if Terrell Austin ended up leaving? Is like, because there's the argument that just... We've talked about Terrell Austin. He's been a sexy kind of idea for head coach for a while, but the defense has kind of been hit and miss.
I'm really, it's not going to move the needle too much either way. I'm not going to really like it, even though the defense was atrocious this year. I don't think there's really any other way to put it, because 32nd in DVOA, this team may have gone 8 games without giving up 20 or so points, but they were not getting the ball back to their offense very often.
And to be clear, just because, like, you know, a defense he ran is bad doesn't mean he will not be a good head coach. But
right.
We're talking about keeping him in the sense that if he stayed in Detroit, he would remain a defensive coordinator.
Right. And here's the thing. I think he might actually be better as a head coach, because I know he's very, very well respected in that locker room. He's gotten interviews for now 3 straight years. That has to tell you what people around the league think of him, too. I know people will bring up the Rooney Rule, but it goes beyond it. We're at a point where there are more candidates than Terrell Austin for the Rooney, if that's what you're trying to accomplish. But I think my bigger point here is that I don't think this team is going to look any different if they lose Terrell Austin, because I feel pretty confident that they're going to promote someone from within. You know, they've got a couple guys on staff already who have been defensive coordinators around the league. Paula Pasch put out a really good article today on Monday, kind of running through the guys in the staff right now. You got Bill Sheridan, the linebackers coach. He was a defensive coordinator in 2009 for the Giants. You got Alan Williams, the defensive backs coach. He was defensive coordinator for the Vikings in 2012. And then you've got Tony Oden, never been a defensive coordinator, but he's also very well respected. He's their defensive backs coach as well. A lot of people have been bringing his name up, and I think that's a possibility. And if you're one of those people that are expecting, once Terrell Austin is out that door, for a complete revamp on defense, you're going to be severely disappointed.
We're not going to a 3-4. We're not going to a 3-4.
It's not happening. I know this is the annual tradition of all Lions fans is wondering when/if we're going 3-4. Andrew Cato, put out a nice comment on someone asking that. Look at our linebackers. Look at our roster right now. You want Thurston Armbrister out there? You want more Josh Bynes and Antoine Williams right now?
I'm thirsting for Armbrister.
You want some more Brandon Copeland out of position? Jeremy, I heard you only said 3 names for defensive coordinator. You said it was a Paula Pasch article?
Yeah, yeah.
Only 3 she names?
She was on a deadline. Yeah, she missed a couple.
Okay. I was going to say, she's usually 5.
We love Paula Pasch. Friend of the show. Unofficial friend of the show.
I don't know if she knows she's a friend of the show, though. I don't know if you can do that.
We can make anybody we want a friend of the show.
That's true. That's true.
I made somebody on Facebook Live this past week. I made somebody a friend of Facebook Live.
Okay, I want to talk about a little bit of your Facebook Live when we come back around.
Okay.
But, I mean,
coaches?
Well, that reminds me of the one point I was trying to have Ryan bringing up, too. Like, again, when you're thinking about these head coaches, don't let your eyes get too big or your stomachs too hungry, because the San Diego Chargers once upon a time had
Mr. Marty Schottenheimer.
Marty, okay. They once had a coach named Marty Schottenheimer, and he once went 14-2 and then got bounced in the second round of the playoffs, and everyone thought that was a disappointment. He was fired, and the San Diego Chargers have never, since that day, been 14-2 or even gone to the second round of the playoffs. Just be careful. Just be careful when you're out here looking for the next best thing. That's all I'm saying.
You want another San Diego Chargers example? Remember all you Lions fans who wanted Ken Whisenhunt the same year that we got Jim Caldwell and he was fired 7 games into his second season with the team? I'm just saying.
That's when we should have gotten rid of Caldwell.
Right.
And then we wouldn't have made the playoffs this year. But who cares? It was a wasted year. We lost in the first round. Now we got the 21st draft pick. Great.
Okay. That's
my Lions character. My Lions fans character.
We'll be right back. We need to figure out what we're doing. Pride of Detroit podcast continuing on here. This is week one of the off season for the Detroit Lions. It hurts already.
God, when you say it like that, it just makes it seem like
every day is a new day.
Week one, here we are.
We are on the road to WrestleMania.
Is that going to become like the slogan of this podcast during the offseason?
I do it on Twitter all the time. That's my joke on Twitter all the time. It's like, you know, folks, it's the first day of the NFL season. We're on the road to WrestleMania. It's 2017. We are on the road to WrestleMania.
I'm watching Raw in the background
now. You're always on the road to WrestleMania.
You are. The road to WrestleMania never ends. It's kind of like I-75.
That's true.
Y'all are triggering me right now.
One end is Canada and the other end is like the Florida is like Key West or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know if 75 ends in Key West. I just think it does.
It'll take you to the tip of the peninsula. You'll be in Cuba before you know it.
Yeah.
What the hell are we talking about?
Okay. This is what we're talking about. I want you guys to give me one item, just one. The first thought that pops in your mind when I say it is the off season and the Lions, their number one priority, they must do blank. So let's start with Ryan. Let's start with Ryan. The Lions, it's the first day of the off season. The Lions must do.
First of all, my Twitter handle is @Ryan_POD. The Lions should draft Taco Charlton.
Oh,
I'm sorry, like, he is only the second best name in this draft.
Was it Corn Elder?
Corn Elder. He is number one out of me. He's out of Miami, although I think he was born in North Carolina. Either way, that's a hell of a name.
That is an awfully good name. But even though free agency comes before the draft, I'm just saying, don't even worry about getting an edge rusher. Just put all your eggs in one basket, or should I say put all of your tortillas in one whatever
basket.
Put all of your toppings in one tortilla would have worked better.
Yeah.
Can we do that again then?
No, we cannot. Jeremy.
Oh, Chris gets all these mulligans because he's the producer. Don't give Ryan any.
No, it's just funnier leaving it in like that.
Oh man, Jeremy just pulled back the curtain on the wizard.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll leave all my awkward silences in. How would you like that? Just letting people sit here for like 15 seconds while I'm trying to remember what I was saying.
Chris, you can find Chris on Twitter @AdequateHost.
Yeah.
The one thing the Lions need to do this offseason is get a defensive playmaker. But since Ryan obviously had that covered with Taco Charlton, the best defensive player in the draft, let me say that the most intriguing part of the offseason to me is what is going to happen on the offensive line. Because the Lions have two starters this year that are on are going to become free agents. And I don't know what they're going to do with Riley Reiff. I don't know what they're going to do with Larry Warford. And to be honest, their play has been so meh, mediocre. I don't know what they should do. I'm going to try to dive into film a little bit to maybe strengthen my opinion one way or the other. But these are guys that ranked right in the middle of the pack in PFF. They looked really good at times and really not so good at other times. And I'm interested to see what's going to happen, especially with Riley Reiff, because some teams might tag him as a left tackle. And if that's the case, Lions aren't going to be able to outbid him.
Yeah, even though that, you know, even though the discrepancy between paying a right tackle and a left tackle has, you know, kind of, you know, narrowed in recent years, you're definitely not going to pay Riley Reiff left tackle money to come back and play right tackle. That won't happen at all. So
No. I mean, the offensive line's kind of difficult to figure out, really, still. Like, even though you got, like, a new guard, and I think Graham Glasgow can probably pan out, maybe.
Yeah, he should be your left guard going forward, I think.
Yeah, I think he played well, and I think Travis Swanson, you know, I think he'll be healthy, and unless this concussion is just, like, really, really bad. I don't think it is. But, you know, as long as he's able to come back and play next year, he'll be the center. So you've got three out of the five right there. So you just need to figure out basically your right side.
Which has always been the problem. Yeah. I don't understand why the right side has always been so tough for this team. But, yeah, they got to figure it out. And it's tough. Bob Quinn has some tough decisions ahead, and I'm eager. As much as I can get excited about the offseason, that's what excites me, strangely, more than anything.
This is a joke, because you just got on my case in the Slack app like a week ago saying that offensive linemen were sexy, and now you're saying the most interesting subplot to the entire offseason is the offensive line? You two-faced son of a bitch.
Hey, what happens in the Slack room is supposed to stay in the Slack room.
No, hell no, it doesn't. The Slack room informs so many of our inside jokes, and we can't have them constantly being inside. We need to figure out a way to mitigate this.
Chris, you're taking too long. Quit dragging your feet.
What? No, I don't have an answer for this.
Oh,
You sure you don't want to cut this part out and come up with something and then plug it in?
No, I don't. You guys are the experts.
Thanks, Chris.
Adequate host.
I'm starting to regret changing from Detroit Southern, but I'm sticking with adequate.
Don't. It's very on brand.
Okay, fine, whatever. All right, next topic. The NFL playoffs, even though the Lions are out, it still rolls on. And I'm glad we weren't the only team to just get fucking annihilated by Aaron Rodgers.
Wait, that is not what I thought. How I thought you were going to finish that sentence.
Look,
you wanted to see Aaron Rodgers annihilate another team.
I wanted to see him fail, but when it was clear he was not, I was like, okay, at least the Giants are ass, and they can join us in being ass company.
Can we all agree that was maybe the worst opening weekend of NFL playoffs?
There were no good games.
In recent memory?
There were
no good games. We had to watch Aaron Rodgers throw another goddamn Hail Mary.
Complete push off. But you know what? No one's going to remember the pushing off when they're just gargling on his balls.
Gotta love that home cooking on Lambeau Field.
And now we get the pleasure of watching Patriots Texans next week. Ooh, goody.
I was about to say, was the best game all weekend, grim as it was to say, it was Texans Raiders.
Nope.
What are you going to say? What was the best game then? Was it Steelers-Dolphins?
No, I feel
Matt
like...
Matt Moore getting his brain scrambled?
I honestly feel like it might be Lions-Seahawks.
That was the only game that was a one-possession game in the fourth quarter.
That's so grim.
I mean, I'm not trying to be biased or anything, but I actually think that that's the answer.
Yeah. Okay, so... Besides that, and we haven't even talked about how weird that NBC broadcast was, by the way, from the Lions game. The memes.
They do that every...
Do they?
No. They do that, meme segment.
It's so stupid. It's the worst thing in the world.
Okay.
It just reminds me of Steve Buscemi from 30 Rock.
Yes.
Hey, fellow kids.
Okay, so with that in mind, there are... The number of fun teams in the playoffs kind of got threshed quite a bit. And it's really sad to see the Raiders go out. Besides the Lions, I think like the Raiders was that one team I was like really rooting for. And they were just not... They had nothing in them when they had to go to Connor Cook. But that's just still sad for their whole, you know, season, right?
Yeah, they, like, scored the most points of any losing team.
Like, it just all fell apart for them. But with the teams that are left, I want cases for who Lions fans should probably root for now. If you want to root for anyone at all, you might just decide, no, screw this, I'm going to go watch the Pistons and Red Wings, which is fine.
No, don't go watch the Red Wings. Football, you can watch the Pistons.
Don't watch the Red Wings.
Get out of here. Form a fucking wall in front of Auburn Hills and close up that
dude,
place.
Boban. Boban.
Garbage stadium.
Boban.
Dude, nothing gives me more joy than Boban guarding the inbounds pass and constantly looking at the bench and being like,
they're like, put your hands up.
They're like, put your hands up. And he puts one arm
you're
up.
Huge.
And they're like, no, put two arms up. No, jump, too. You should jump, too.
Boban, you're huge. Put your hands up. Yeah. You're a giant. Put your hands up. They can't get it past you. Okay, teams you want Lions fans to root for and, like, cases to do so. So I think I start with Jeremy last time. No, I start with Ryan last question. So we'll start with Jeremy this time.
Okay. You're a Detroit Lions fan. You just got done watching 17 Detroit Lions games. What do you want to see the most? Defense, for once. Give me a defensive team, for Christ's sake. Let me see a team that can force some turnovers, that actually has players who can tackle, players that can, you know, force a pass rush. Give me the Kansas City Chiefs. Give me Eric Berry, who someone wanted the Lions to sign right before the playoff game for some reason. is there a guy with a better story than Eric Berry this year, coming back from cancer, just like dominatingly becoming the guy that he was on the verge of becoming before he had to deal with that? And who else are you going to root for in the AFC? You really want the Patriots to win another Super Bowl? How about the Steelers? That's really exciting. And no one wants to watch the Texans ever play another football game. Let's just fold up that franchise. I mean, why was that an expansion league in the team in the first place? Make them the Oilers. Put Steve McNair back in there. Make them someone exciting.
Yeah, I like the Oilers, yeah. Okay, Ryan. Ryan, who's the team you think Lions fans should root for?
Jeremy, you brought up all wonderful points. But the team that I'm going to suggest that people root for is also from the AFC.
Oh, no.
Why would you not want to root for the Houston Texans?
Oh, what? You hate the Texans!
Let me be clear when I say this. I absolutely loathe the Houston Texans, but what would be better than to see the Houston Texans overcome a 16-point spread? Yes, the spread is 16 points in a playoff game. What would be better than to see Brock Osweiler go into Gillette Stadium and beat Tom Brady? People's heads will explode.
Brady has to retire if that happens.
Yes. That should be martial law. Like that, like Obama, that should be the last thing he does. Like Brady should be actually put in prison if that happens. Okay, all jokes aside. Yeah, you should watch the Houston Texans because just
get out of here.
Look, they're 16-point underdogs. Just root for crazy things to happen in that game. Root for some I don't know, a couple defensive touchdowns or something. Root for AJ Bouye so that he gets an even bigger contract offer from the Lions. I kid. But, I mean, he'd be cool to play for him.
Okay, while we're outing each other on Slack, let me pull up some transcripts.
Oh, come on. This is
10:38 a.m. Pacific time, Sunday morning. Ryan Matthews, quote, "If the Texans make the Super Bowl, I will not watch, unquote.
gotta take what you get here, man.
Yeah.
Gotta take what you get.
It's a valid point. I did say that.
pulling back the curtain when we were deciding teams to talk about, I did unfortunately grab this team. And I think that this was the team originally Ryan wanted to talk about. So I commend him for coming up with stuff on the fly.
Hey, but why can't, I mean, we can have a Texans and Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl.
We could. And I can think of no better place than the Atlanta Falcons. Like, as much as I enjoy the Steelers in the playoffs, because things always get incredibly dirty when they are in the playoffs and incredibly nasty, and Joey Porter, unfortunately, like, they're just out of the running for me because, one, their fans are unbelievably annoying and would shit up the entire Super Bowl with, like, six rings talks and then suddenly seven rings talk. And Joey Porter got arrested, so that kind of takes some of the fun out of this. But the Atlanta Falcons, I don't know. Okay, so it's very easy if you're a Detroit fan to get locked up in how snake-bitten Detroit's been. You want to talk about snake-bitten, let's talk about Atlanta sports. Let's talk about the sports teams of Atlanta, of the ATLians. Like, just, holy fuck. What, like, one of the Falcons are a franchise that people, like, it's... When you're living in Georgia like I was, you watch the Bulldogs first, and then maybe the Falcons, if you're feeling good about what the Bulldogs did. It's not the other way around. But this team is really good. Matt Ryan is really good. I think he should be, if he is not going to be, the league MVP. Over Tom Brady, over Aaron Rodgers, Matty Ice should be your MVP.
Agree.
Julio Jones, fantastic. Folks, he's fantastic.
Missing Kelvin Johnson.
He's
kind of like, it's a step down.
Julio Jones, he's wonderful. And what it comes to for the Falcons would be, it would be nice to see them put the ghosts to bed. Last time they were in the Super Bowl, so they've been in the Super Bowl. No, in like what, the 90s? I think it was like 96.
Yeah,
but
late 90s.
For those who don't remember, who don't, you know, Eugene Robinson. They're starting safety, you know, man of the year award, and then not 8 hours later, he's picked up trying to solicit a prostitute in Miami. That's the course of Atlanta sports.
Dirty Birds.
If Dirty Birds, you want to see, like, and Atlanta's a fun town. It's a very fun town. I love Atlanta. It's one of my favorite cities. Like, if you want to talk about being kindred spirits with a team and a city trying to shake off ghosts, you go with Atlanta.
Chiefs, man. Chiefs just won their first playoff game in 22 years. The Falcons were in the Super Bowl, what? This decade?
Yeah, but Atlanta's
got... No, they were in the Kansas, conference championship a couple times.
Kansas City has the Royals, though. So I know how Kansas City fans get down.
All right,
Anything else?
I mean, I think we all made cases. I clearly made the best one, but, you know, I get it.
Yeah, fuck the Packers, fuck the Cowboys, fuck the Seahawks.
Fuck the Patriots.
Aside from the Falcons, I want the whole NFC to burn.
Yeah, that I think we can all probably agree on.
Like, if the Falcons get eliminated by the Seahawks, like, I mean, I guess I'm rooting for the Seahawks because holy crap, like the rest. I mean, God. I don't know if I want the Seahawks in a third Super Bowl, but still, like, the other options are just insufferable.
Yeah.
If Brock Osweiler played for an NFC team, though, I'd probably root for him. Just want to make that clear.
If Brock Osweiler was in the NFC, he wouldn't play.
Let's get to the mailbag.
Jerk.
It's time for the mailbag, as always, and this is going to continue through the off-season best we can with the Ask POD mailbag.
We're probably going to rely on it heavier than ever.
Yeah, we need you guys.
It might expand in scope, and obviously on the off-season, the creative questions are appreciated even more.
I mean, that's the thing about this podcast is we love being interactive. So send us questions at any point in the day. Hashtag it AskPOD and we're going to see it. Email it if you want to. We want this to be an interactive process. Also, don't forget to leave reviews. We haven't had a review in like a month.
No, we haven't had any more new reviews to read.
We will read word for word whatever you write down in the review. I promise you, someone on this podcast will read whatever you write down.
I don't even care. I don't care if it's your small business.
Yeah,
I just don't want a wall of text. That's all.
I will chill whatever you're selling. I don't care.
Okay, fine. All right, let's open up this mailbag with a bang. Taylor McDowell at McTweet on Twitter. What will be the new food argument for 2017? Taylor, you're starting off the new year right.
That is almost friend of the show worth of a question. He's trying to bring some heat early in this mailbag. I don't know if we have anything bubbling on the surface right now.
I'm going to lose my mind and start talking about Euros a lot in the off season, I think.
You like that? You'd like them or anti them? I can't.
I
tell
love Euros. No, I love Euros. Okay. I love Euros. Are you kidding me? They're probably like my favorite meat related food.
I missed what the question was. What was the question?
God damn it, Ryan!
I'm sorry.
What will be the new food argument?
Oh, I'm starting the off season strong.
What will be the new food argument for this year?
Ooh. oh, boy. Well, just kind of like reminiscing on all the food arguments we've had. We've had, you know, wings, pizza, or subs.
Hot dogs or sandwiches.
Cakes versus pies. Which desserts you want to fornicate with?
No argument. All of them.
Candy bar arguments.
I think we're going to get into some
candy
next
arguments.
No, I think next podcast we're going to be getting into the sandwich, and I think we're going to be starting to throw some fire around.
Something is
going to
get unearthed there. That's a horrible take from one of you guys, and it'll be. Well, you know what this needs. This podcast needs Alex Reno to get the food taste.
He's been the catalyst. I mean, Kyle kind of brought some heat in his absence for salad shit. Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't on that podcast, but I was screaming.
Fruit salad is a top 5 side dish at Thanksgiving. Thanks, Kyle Yost. There's a reason why. Next. There's a reason why he hasn't been on the show since.
He'll be Blind back, bald. And hopefully some more guests too. Hopefully some more people from Pride to Detroit and some other guests. Okay, next question though. I have Sean Lanigan, kind of getting back to the Lions here. Can we trade the Stafford fans for a 2020 30th round pick?
Ooh, see, I was just about to say what franchise is going to take those fans, but like Tampa Bay doesn't sell out very often. Maybe trade those fans to Tampa Bay
or San Diego. San Diego will take them.
San Diego, that's a great answer. Yeah,
you might not even be. I think Vegas is going to need some fans. I think once the Raiders move to Vegas, they're going to realize no one's coming out to Las Vegas to watch a football game.
That's totally
fair.
They
won't need them right away, but yeah.
Well, not right away. I think LA is going to need fans here in a couple of years.
Well,
oh, for sure.
Hey, I know somebody who we can trade the, you know, get rid of Stafford fans to. Trade them to Green Bay. I mean, they were trying to get rid of Aaron Rodgers at the beginning of the season.
Dude,
they'll fall
Scott
right in
Tolson.
Line.
Do you remember, like, what was it last year? They were all in the bag for Scott Tolson.
Brett Hundley. Hey,
and you know what? They didn't sell out that playoff game until Saturday. They need some fans.
People needed to make sure that they could get their orange and camo jackets out of layaway before they could go to the game, so.
Okay. Okay, let's see here.
My team's not in the playoffs. I'm angry.
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell. Okay, Melvin2345, more Killebrew or GTFO?
That's a statement, right? That's not a question.
Yeah. GTFO, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
That was kind of strange, right? We were all getting hyped about Killebrew in that like right after the Saints game, that I think was the peak Killer Brew hype, and then like suddenly he's like, okay, he only gets 7 snaps a game now.
Yeah, in favor of Asa Jackson.
Right. Which, so, yeah.
I mean, I guess the loss of Quandre Diggs kind of forced their hand a little bit there. Like, suddenly Don Carey or Asa Jackson or Crezdon Butler had to be their corner, their nickel corner guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't really know if the Lions wanted Miles Killebrew in there at all much this year anyways. Yeah. I'm not sure if Killebrew's ever really going to be starting safety. He's very raw, so it's hard to know right now, but... Like I think it was either Bob Quinn or Jim Caldwell who said the jump from the first to second season is always the biggest. So I'm excited to see what we get out of Killebrew because we've already seen good stuff out of our first 3 draft picks, right? We saw good things out of Decker. We saw good things out of Glasgow. We saw good things out of Ashawn. Killebrew's the next guy up. We'll see what he has in store for us.
I think I can buy into Killebrew too. I mean, not as like a, he's not going to be like the starting strong safety next year by any means, because I think that Tavon Wilson has that locked up, I would presume. Yeah. But Raphael Bush is a free agent, and I mean, I can see Killebrew maybe sliding into that backup role.
All right, next question here from Pathological Lion. Really good screen name. I like that. Realistically, what will Zach Zenner's future look like with the Lions if Abdullah, Riddick, and Washington all come back healthy next season? Has he done enough to permanently stake a claim to a portion of the backfield snaps? Will he be back on the practice squad, or will he be valuable enough to get something in a trade?
He's definitely not going to get a considerable portion of the carries. That will not be happening. He's going to be a situational back at best. Like, I'm talking, like, goal line situations, maybe. Like, even then, they could potentially bring in somebody else to take his role from him easily. Dwayne Washington is a prime candidate for the practice squad.
Jeremy, this kind of brings up something I know we were talking about in the Slack earlier with Andrew Cotto. Kind of the neglect this year of Jim Bob Cooter of the fullback position.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I think... The future of Michael Burton is something to look at. I don't know what they plan to do with him because he was inactive, I think, the last 2 games. The last game in the season and the playoff game, I think he was inactive. So that's kind of interesting. In terms of Zenner, though, I think I'm with Ryan. This is a guy that the Lions don't want to be giving more than 2 carries a game. I know everyone kind of fell in love with him down the stretch there, but he's not a guy with great vision. He'll just kind of run to where the hole is supposed to be, and if it's not there... he's not going to hit it. And like I was saying before in the podcast, he just doesn't have that explosion. What I do think is kind of interesting, though, is because I don't know if the Lions really see him as that short yardage back that you were talking about, Ryan, because on several occasions this year, when they got down to the goal line, Zenner had been running the ball all drive, and then they bring in Dwayne Washington on the goal line. And that, to me, was really puzzling. They brought him in on that 4th-and-1 play, too, against the Seahawks. They obviously didn't end up running it to him, but I don't know what the Lions see both in Zenner and Washington. They're both very limited backs, in my opinion, and I don't see either of them having a big role in this offense in the future going as far as you want. Yeah. I don't think either of these guys are a big part.
Yeah, and I think Dwayne Washington at this point is just so incredibly raw. Like, he's clearly not at the same developmental level as Zenner is, because it was clear why they gave Zenner the reins. I mean, Washington was having problem hitting holes. You know, Washington didn't play a whole lot after Taylor Decker started talking about people going rogue in the running game.
Yeah, I was going to say that rumor kind of
connect those dots.
I saw that. Yeah, I connected those right away. Like, I already saw someone, I think, from, like, the Beat Writer gang already saying, like, that probably is why he got less carries. He might have just been, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. It is interesting, though. I mean, you know, you bring up a good point, Jeremy. They brought in Steven Ridley. So, I mean, apparently they weren't sold on Zenner at the beginning of the season. It was kind of just what the team had at that point. But, I mean, I think he's done enough to at least prove that he probably deserves a, you know, the same shot he got last year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Next question here, John Whitaker. Do you think there'll be a surprise cut soon? And if so, who will it be?
No, I don't really see them cutting anyone really, really soon. I don't think it's that time of year.
Oh, wow. This is weird. People are kind of having like Tulloch flashbacks or.
Oh, right.
people are waiting for somebody to fall.
I haven't really looked into cap casualties or anything like that yet. If you're hoping Levy is amongst these early cuts, it's never going to happen because I think he actually costs the team more if he's cut than if he's on the team.
Yeah, he costs like an extra $1 million in dead cap if he gets cut.
So, yeah, you can put that one to bed. I think my eye, if the Lions are going to lose anyone, my eye is on Anquan Boldin and maybe even Haloti Ngata potentially retiring. I don't think either that's going to happen, but that's to me, I guess, the riskiest move that could happen for this roster. I don't know.
I might have one, and you bring up the word retire, and it's something I've had in my mind as Travis Swanson has sat out now like 4 games with a concussion, and I just remember what happened last year with someone we had who was really dealing with concussion and could not come back from it.
I get that, but it's Rasheen Matthews. I mean, you can obviously bring up Javid Best too, right?
Yeah, sure.
But I don't know. Travis Swanson met with everyone met with the media today. It was their last day at the facility, and I can't remember which beat writer it was. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. One of them said, Brad Galley, I think he's from Fox, said that Swanson seemed very excited about coming back next year. He even said, you know, I'll be back next year. Okay. Sorry, he's ABC, local ABC.
Okay,
so
that's good.
I think Swanson's in on it. I think he's going to play if he's medically cleared.
Okay. Next question I have here from Merlin May. What movie in 2016 best relates to the Lions season? So is he just talking about like movies that came out in 2016? I think this is probably because the Golden Globes were last night.
That's TV though.
Which oh yeah, that's right. No, it's movies too. The Golden Globes are movies as well.
Okay. Oh yeah, I guess Meryl Streep isn't a famous TV actress.
No, but they had like, you know, Moonlight, La La Land, all that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know. I don't watch that stuff. I don't watch that stuff. The only thing I picked out of there is Meryl Streep said something about if you kick like immigrants out of the country, all you'll be able to watch is like football and MMA, which that's not really a convincing argument to really make towards me because I like that stuff. Like, what's the problem there? But
what was the question?
Ryan, movies. I'm just gonna say. I don't know, Star Wars Rogue One, because everyone dies in the end. Spoiler alert.
Oh, shit. I haven't seen it. I don't know if you're if you're lying or not. But
sure, I'm lying.
Oh, man. Well,
fucking month. What are you doing?
I don't know, covering the fucking Lions in the playoffs, you asshole.
You had time.
You don't know my life.
Oh, boy.
What do you say, Ryan?
If the Lions season was a movie?
Yes.
Reservoir Dogs, because everybody dies
you
in the end.
Up your... I think you meant a movie from 2016. Either way, this is too much for your brains, apparently. So
one of the Fast and Furious movies, if one came out this year.
Preferably one that stars Dwayne The Rock Washington.
Fez99, should the Lions make moves to optimize their chances of winning the Super Bowl next season? Doesn't everyone?
Is he trying to say or build to the future?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I missed the second part here. Or play the long game.
Okay. I was going to say.
I think it is interesting to talk about, just given that, you know, once Stafford is on a new contract, if he signs a new contract with the Lions, which 99% chance he will, like you are going to be on a clock pretty much to get it done while Stafford is in his prime, and obviously that spans multiple years. But
yeah, I mean, it's not an either or situation either. I mean, the number one the number one goal this offseason should be the same as every year, and that's just to gather talent. And it shouldn't really matter what the goal for next year is in accomplishing that goal. I mean,
I think fans would be a lot happier if they just stopped setting it at Super Bowl every preseason.
Right. Because, well, I mean, you look at a move like last year, like getting Anquan Boldin. That's a move that you would typically see out of a team, you know, that feels they're one piece away, right, that they're building for a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But that was just as helpful for them as a team that probably wasn't ready to make that jump. So I don't think building a team for the future looks any different than building one for the Super Bowl, because you're going to have to rely on that young talent with low cost against the salary cap to compete. That's proven time and time again to be really the strategy to get to the postseason, and that's what you want no matter what your goal is.
Okay, I've got one more question. Actually, this one's right up Jeremy's alley. Unless, Ryan, did you want to get in on that question?
What question?
I feel like I'm talking about everyone's ear off right now.
Are you playing Overwatch?
No, I'm watching Raw.
Okay, well, here.
I'm trying to simulate the experience of having Alex on the podcast.
Okay, this question is probably, I think this is for Jeremy, but I'll let Ryan get in on this too, because I think this question speaks to the Jeremy world spirit. This is from a commenter, Darkus. I'm a proud owner of the following Lions jerseys: Charles Rogers, Luis Delmas, DeAndre Levy, purchased after the 2014 season, Calvin Johnson, purchased last year. Considering my track records of players crumbling from existence after my purchase of their jersey, who should I target next? Should I take one for the team and buy a Clay Matthews jersey?
Man, that might put my jersey curse to bed. Charles Rogers? I didn't have a Charles Rogers jersey. I mean, Luis Joey Harrington, Delmas? But hey, I had a Delmas jersey.
Oh, Jesus.
Of course you did. Of course you did, Jeremy. Well, nothing about that surprises me.
If you're going Packers, why wouldn't you go big or go home and get an Aaron Rodgers jersey?
Yeah.
Clay Matthews, screw that guy. Yeah. I don't care.
I don't want you to go out and buy an Aaron Ripkowski jersey. Like, go for the throat.
Or maybe get a nationwide jersey. Just cover them both.
I'm kind of worried, though, this curse might only extend to Lions players.
It's not nationwide, it's all state.
All state, whatever.
You can't even get the guts.
You're an awful shill. You're never going to work in the NFL.
I mean, do you think that those advertisements are going to work on me, showing me Aaron Rodgers all the time? I'm proud that I got it wrong.
Valid point.
Okay.
Valid point.
Brian Kress, am I wrong for being optimistic about an average roster that overachieved?
No, you're not wrong in being, you're not wrong for having your expectations, you know, raised based on what this team did in the middle of the season. You're not, you're absolutely not. You should have been happy with them. You should have been able to understand that this team, as we were saying the entire season, this team was... was just above average. Like, the defense was always kind of a mirage, even the holding teams under 20 points. I feel like we talked about how the Lions' best defense was, you know, an offense that kept the ball away from the other defense. There were signs on the wall that let you know that this team wasn't really actually that good, and that a lot of it was just a lack of depth and, you know, a lot of injuries. So those two things together are no bueno. But, oh man, this is listening to 97.1 creeping into me. But a lot of the arguments that people are making, saying that the Lions are okay with mediocrity and that they should be ashamed that they had their fans believe and buy into this team and then not win them a playoff game. I'm sorry, but if you 100% bought in on this team after they barely beat a really bad Bears team at home with an awful lot of help from the referees. Crazy, right? The Lions got a few calls that went their way. If you bought into this team so wholeheartedly after that stretch and after that Bears game, and you thought that they were going to do a whole lot of good things against that three-headed Hydra that they ran into in the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Packers. I'm sorry, but that's a problem between you and yourself. Like that's not something that's wrong with the team. That's nothing. You can start pointing to them and saying that they're okay with mediocrity, and you can start, you know, transcribing all of this nonsense about the Lions as an organization. That's a problem between you and yourself. You bought in, you allowed yourself to see this team for something that it was not, and then they let you down. They didn't let you down. You let yourself down. That's a problem between you and yourself.
I just want to say this to you, building off this, because I did think they legitimately had a shot to win this playoff game. I really did. I went on like Toledo Radio. I said as much. I picked them as the Lions in my picks, and I was not ashamed for it. But what I didn't do when they lost was somehow blame the team for letting me down.
No.
For saying that,
exactly.
That I was betrayed by the team, or that the team sold me a bill of goods, and shame on them.
And
they lost a game. In football, if you play a game of football, you have a good shot to lose the game.
And that's totally right, Chris.
That's football, man.
That's totally right. What you just said, you could have bought into this team and then watched the team lose. And then after the playoff game, you're up here and you're admitting that you picked the team, but you're not going to start saying all this crazy shit about the team as an organization. That's fine. Yeah. You can do that too. Like, you just can't be that person who bought in and now you're disappointed and now you want to start trashing the team.
Listen, we've made a lot of rage corners this year about fans. It's probably something I think we maybe done like one too many of.
I think the other thing too, though, is I don't want people to have the perception that we're trying to tell them how to be better fans. I'm just trying to say maybe you should redirect some of your interest into something else other than football, because maybe you're not getting the most entertainment out of it. Like, maybe
that's the thing. We're trying to make people happier, right?
Like, well, yeah. Like, enjoy again, it's kind of hard because we don't really have a conception of past fandom, but I just remember it. I just like to think there was a time before the internet and screaming and like this so much of fan identity being within the team that it was like, if the team lost, you still were a fan. It's like, all right, no, it's fine. We'll get them next time. You know, just believing for a better future eventually, even though if it's been a very long time, like, I mean, the Cubs won a Super Bowl. The Cubs won the World Series in 2016. Sometimes you got to wait that long. Sometimes you got to wait 100 years. I'm sorry.
I agree with everything all of you said, except for one thing Ryan said. The Lions only got calls in the Bears game because they wanted that Packers game to mean much more in week 17 so that they could embarrass them on a national stage.
It's going to be one of those producer magics that Chris works out, but Jeremy just took off his tinfoil hat. There was an awful lot of crinkling, but Chris can edit that out.
I'll take care of that.
Sorry, I'm trying to remove it.
guys, I really don't have any other question to help send us out on a smash cut. Can I get one last question to you, because I've been missing it now. We haven't played it since November. I mean, we kind of cheated last week, and I felt like that's the reason why we lost, is that we played Africa. But we need to figure out
how that was the right time to celebrate, right? That was the last time we had any real reason
good
to
joy,
celebrate.
Yeah, the playoffs, yeah.
When Kirk Cousins threw that interception, that was the last peak of this season.
That was the last victory for the Lions.
We backed in.
Oh,
the last victory for the Lions was the Giants beating Washington.
Yep. I would just say, though, like, Africa is a guiding principle, and it will guide us through the offseason.
Absolutely. It is the gospel. We need to figure out, okay, we need the lead singer's name of Africa in Toto, and then we need to, like, actually, like, transcribe everything so that they're, like, Bible verses, and we should just use them as gospel. Yes.
We're going to do this. By the way, too, we now will have our finished Spotify playlist. So
yeah,
it unfortunately does not end with Africa, but it is very good.
It may be missing a week in there somewhere.
Yeah, just because it says 17 weeks, Chris did step up during one of the bye weeks. Yeah, Chris did one of the bye weeks. Just one of our regular contributors and our fearless leader decided to bow out and not do on 1 week because he was way too upset with the outcome.
Sure, let's go with that.
Let's fill it in. Let's fill it in. If you're listening,
I was too busy
still to
not
this podcast,
watching the Star Wars movie.
90 minutes in, if you're still listening to this podcast, please let us know what that game is and how you would fill it in. But I think we should say goodbye. We really should.
It's been a fun season, guys. We're about to enter something that's not so fun, but
the doldrums.
We'll try to carry the load here as much as we can. We'll get Reno in here to offset my off-season negativity.
And I would just say we are, you know, just in passing, you know, we are in the off-season, and that means we are on the road to WrestleMania.
You son of a
bitch.
And
the man who's going to be wrestled there, and his name is...
John Cena!